Good morning. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And nice to be back. Amen. This is our home church. This is our sending church. And I want to thank everyone for being faithful. I want to thank the church family. I want to thank the leadership and the staff. In our church, our theme for this year is He Must Increase. And I believe the word, when John the Baptist said He Must Increase, it means more of Jesus and less of us. You know, in this day and age, you know, we need to have more of Him and less of us. Amen? More services, and we need to be in church more. Let's all stand, please. We're going to give honor to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24. My wife is with me. I call her the joy of my life. Thank God for her and her spirit. Jeremiah 24, we're going to be reading verses 1 to 3 responsibly. Pastor Myers, I'm not going to be a Pharaoh this morning. Someone says, Pastor, what is a Pharaoh? In the Old Testament, Pharaoh won't let the people go. Amen? And so a lot of preachers are Pharaoh preachers. They won't want the people to go. I'm going to let you go early, so we're going to have a short service this morning. Jeremiah 24 and verses 1 to 3 responsibly. The Bible says in verse 1, the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters, the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. Verse 2, please. Verse 3 together, please. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Loving Father, we praise you and thank you for many blessings that you've given us. I pray, Lord, this morning that you please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me to be a channel of blessing. Speak to the hearts of the people. If there's someone here that is not saved, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, convict their hearts that they will accept Jesus as their personal Savior. If there's some Christians here that are struggling, I pray, Lord, that the message will be a help. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Jeremiah was a prophet with a broken heart. In fact, he was called the weeping prophet. For 20 years, he'd been preaching of the coming judgment of God, and the people will just ignore his preaching. The people will not listen. I want you to see chapter 3, please. We're just gonna give you the background here. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse, I want you to see verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. So the people here are backslidden. And so God said to Jeremiah, I want you to preach to these people. Notice what Jeremiah said, return. Maybe there's someone here, you're far, far away from God. And the message this morning is return. Notice in verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, and I, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So the message is return. Come back home. Notice in chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Notice what he says here. To whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Behold, the ear of the ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach or a disgrace. So it means he's been preaching, and the people keeps on ignoring it. They don't want to listen. And so in our text, chapter 24, the judgment is finally here. And so God showed Jeremiah here some a vision. I want to preach this morning on that subject, Jeremiah's vision. Jeremiah's vision. Notice in verse 1, the Lord showed me. The Lord showed here Jeremiah a vision. I'm going to give you this morning three simple thoughts, very simple. I want you to see, first of all, the contrast. The contrast. Notice verse 1 down to verse 3. The Lord showed me, and behold, notice here, two baskets of figs. The Bible mentions here there's two kinds of, two groups of people here. Two baskets of figs. One will be good, and the other one will be bad or evil. You could see here the contrast. There's two groups here. The same thing this morning with our society. Our society is always divided. There's always two groups. There's always two sides. When it comes to politics, there's two sides. There's the Democrats, there's the Republicans. When it comes to religion, it's always divided. Christianity and, you know, other beliefs. So when it comes to race, there's divisions as well. You will see that as you, you know, watch the news. There's people, you know, rallying, you know, regarding the race. Red, yellow, black, white, brown, and so forth. Divided. When it comes to sports, divided. There's the Cavs and there's the Warriors. Amen. Hello. Sorry, Lakers. Amen. Warriors is on our side. Amen. So there's the Jews and the Gentiles. There's the rich and there's the poor. Notice in verse 2. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. I want you to see here, the Bible identifies it. It was God who identified to Jeremiah. In fact, there's only two kinds of group in this world. People that are lost and people that are saved. Only two groups of people. There's people that place their trust in Jesus as their Savior, and there's people that denied Christ. There's only two groups of people. This morning, there's people that are heaven bound, and there's people that are hell bound. There's only two groups of people this morning. Maybe this morning in this congregation, there's two groups here. My question is, which group do you belong this morning? You cannot be in the middle. You see, it's either good figs or bad or evil. It's either you're saved or you're lost. You cannot be in the middle. A lot of Christians, they just want to be in the middle. You see, the longer as I pastor, I could see some Christians, they don't want to be too faithful, but they don't want to be, you know, on this side as well. So they just want to be in the middle. The Bible puts it here this way, two groups of people. It's either you're a good figs or bad. Notice in John, turn your Bibles, please. We're going to put a marker here, John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 18. Notice what the Bible says here. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So that is the first group, the believers. Notice verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That is the first group. But he that believeth not, that is the second group, is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me ask you this morning, have you placed your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone? There's only two groups of people this morning. If you're saved, the Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. So you know for a fact that there was a time in your life you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. If you're saved this morning, somebody say amen. Amen. But there's people here, you cannot say that 100%. There's doubts. You know it. There's only two groups here. People that believe, people that don't believe. Notice in verse 24, John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son, capital letter S, that is the Lord Jesus. He that believeth on the Son, notice here, hath everlasting life. If you place your faith in Jesus, the Bible says there's eternal life. You're heaven bound. But notice another group here. And he that believeth not the Son, hath not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Two groups of people. Which group do you belong this morning? I hope at the end of the service, you will make that for sure, that you will belong to the group which believe on Jesus. Amen? You know, the longer I pastor, you know, you will see different kinds of people. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, there's the carnal-minded Christian, there's the spiritually-minded Christian. In the church, you know, there's two groups, those that are committed and those that are not committed. Those that are givers and those that are not givers. By the way, they said, you know, giving people are always happy people. Hello. A lot of people are, they just ate lemon, you could see, you know. But giving people are happy people. Say amen there. Those that are faithful and those that are not faithful. I've mentioned this to our church. Put it somewhere here so you will remember this. Very, very easy. This three letter here. I believe every Christian should be faithful in these three areas. Okay, so three letters. In fact, we use this every day, so it's very, very common to us. How many of you know how to use ATM? Come on, huh? Would it be nice if we have ATM in our church lobby? You know, so some people will say, oh, I forgot my offering. But we have ATM, so there's no excuse, amen? In fact, there's some churches in the East Coast, they have ATM in their church. But I want you to see, as Christians, I want you to see the word ATM. We need to be faithful in these three areas. I mentioned this to our church. So put this in this book of John, you put this word ATM. So you will remember that Pastor Pichardo preached September 10 on this ATM. Because every Christian should be faithful in these three areas. The word A, it means attendance. We need to be faithful when it comes to our church attendance. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Wednesday as church service. And then we have soul winning. Amen. Every time the church door is open, somebody said that somebody should be there. We need to be faithful when it comes to our attendance. So the word A, be faithful in our attendance. Letter T is also very, very good. All the pastors like this. Tithes. Hello. We need to be faithful when it comes to our tithes, our givings. You see, our young people in our church, they started, you know, working. And I could see they have brand new cars, brand new cell phones. And I was checking their givings. Hello. I mean, they could pay for their car. They could pay for their cell phones. What about the tithes? I would rather have 90% blessed money than 100% cursed money. Hello? So ATM, A, we need to be faithful when it comes to our attendance. T, we need to be faithful when it comes to our tithes, our givings. M, we need to be faithful in the ministry. Ministry. Everyone should be involved in the ministry. Everyone can be a part of the ministry. Amen. Paul said, you know, that God has given this ministry. We have mercy, we faint not. It was God who gave us the ministry. It is a privilege. It is an opportunity for us to serve the King of Kings. Let me ask you, are you faithful in your attendance? Are you faithful when it comes to your giving? Are you faithful in the ministry? I want you to see here the two kinds, two groups of people. Let's go back here in our text. The contrast. There's two groups. There's the good figs, which speaks of Christians. And there's the bad figs, which speaks of lost people. Which group do you belong? Dr. Ironside, an evangelist, he was sharing the gospel on the streets. And he mentioned that most of the questions that people will ask is, you know, there's so many kinds of religion. Which religion is the right religion? And so this evangelist said, although there's so many religion, but it boils down to two kinds. Those who believe that salvation is by doing, you keep on doing to get saved, and the other religion as you believe that it's done. Let me say this morning, friends, in John chapter 19, Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. God's salvation is finished. God's mission is finished. The payment of our sins is finished. You must just believe and place your trust and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I want you to see the contrast. Secondly, in our text, notice verse 5 to verse 7. The contrast. Secondly, the care. In verse 5, I want you to see here, you will see the heart of God here. Verses 5 down to verse 7. In verse 5, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like this good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah. The good figs, again, it's a picture of Christians or child of God. And God said, I will acknowledge them. The word acknowledge here, it means I will take care of you. I will care for you. God was saying here, don't worry, I'll take care of you. You will see here that God was giving his promise. I will take care of your needs. I will take care of your supplies. I will deliver you. I will protect you. Let me say this morning, God cares. God, he cares. You know, there's people here that are going through difficulties. God cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. God cares. God cares. Notice in verse 6. In verse 5, it says, I will acknowledge them. In verse 6, for I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. God was saying here, I'm going to defend you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to, referring to their families, that they will be rooted there and they will be blessed. You would see the heart of God here to those, good figs, the child of God. God cares. God cares this morning. Amen. God cares for you. God cares for your family. God cares for your needs. God cares for your problems. He cares. He cares. You know, Pastor Myers, we've been there for 10 years, going 11 this February, next year. God has been good to us, our ministry. Now, you know the story. My wife, she's going through dialysis last year. She has this kidney surgery. After that surgery, 4 months, the kidney failed. She has to be put to dialysis. You know, it was hard for our people. It was hard for our family. 3 times a week, she has to go to a dialysis for 3.5 hours. But you will see the spirit, her spirit. Our people are so blessed because of her spirit. In spite of what she's going through, she has a great spirit. You know, looking back, what God did, she was placed in this dialysis center very close to our church. And the manager in that dialysis center was our member. I did not know that she works there, that she was a member. God placed her in that area, in that center. So because our member is the manager, so she was well taken care of there. All the people love her, you know. Last 2 months ago, she was invited in a ladies' conference. And so she was able to preach there, amen. Some ladies are good preachers, so she preached there. There was this one lady that was going through the same situation. She was also going through dialysis. But this lady was saying, I have no reason to live. Why would I, be in this dialysis forever? I don't want to live. But after hearing her giving that testimony and then giving that challenge, The lady said, from now on, Lord, please use me just like this lady. You know, even as we are going through these difficulties, God is still a good God. God is still a compassionate God. Let me say this morning, God cares. God cares for His people. God cares for His children. Someone says, God stands by you when you're down. He guides you when you think of quitting. He inspires you when things seem to be confusing. Why? Because God knows, God sees, and God cares. God cares. Notice verse 7 here. Verse 7. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. You will see the heart of God here. This verse will give us hope when you stumble, when you're down, backslidden, far away from God. God wants you back. That's a God that we serve. He cares. He is a compassionate God. He is a good God. He is a loving God. In this verse, verse 7, I'm going to highlight two words here. I want you to see in verse 7 the word heart. The Bible says, I will give them an heart to know me. Heart. I want to highlight these two words. First is the word heart. How's your heart this morning? How's your heart this morning? You see, when you look on the outside, you know, we might be dressing nice, we might be sharp on the outside, but the question is, how's your heart? Because God is looking on the heart. You know, this morning, God is still looking for a humble heart. God is still looking for a submissive heart. God is still looking for a pure heart, a soft heart, a fixed heart for God. How's your heart this morning? Another word I want to highlight in verse 7 is the word return. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. That is the God that we serve. He wants us to go back, return. In fact, the word return in the Bible was mentioned 263 times. Return. Return. Maybe you've left Him. Maybe you're far away. Maybe you've sinned. God wants you to come back. Return. I read the story of this family. This family was living in a countryside. The parents are very strict. And so the daughter, ran away. She wants to live in a city. She started to look for a place and a work. There was no work for her. And so she was forced to work as a prostitute to earn a living. The mother overheard everything. So from then on, the mother printed thousands of pictures of this little girl, her daughter. In that picture, there was a note, no matter what you've done, we still love you. Please come home. Everywhere the mother will go, she will put that picture of her. With that note, she will go to department stores, she would go to restaurants, she would go to bars at night just to put the picture of her daughter. No matter what you've done, we still love you. Please come home. She would spend hours and hours every day just to put that thousands of flyers. One day, the daughter saw that picture. Reminded her when she was still in that family, there's protection there. She started crying and crying. She saw her picture and that word, no matter what you've done, we still love you. Please come home. She went home. This morning, let me say this, friends, the same thing, the God that we serve, no matter what you've done, God still loves you.
please come home. Please come home. I want you to see God cares. God cares for you this morning. God has a purpose for everyone. God wants to use you. Don't listen to the devil. Hello? God cares. I want you to see in our text, first of all, I want you to see, first of all, the contrast. Secondly, the care. I want you to see, lastly, as we close here, the consequence. Verses 8 down to verse 10. I wish this text will end up just like, you know, they live happily ever after. But the end of this text, you will see the consequence. Someone said, you are free to make whatever choice you want, but you are not free from the consequence of that choice. In verse 8, the Bible says here, and as the evil figs, so God now deals with the evil figs. In verses 5 to 7, he was dealing with the good figs. And God says, I will acknowledge you. I will take care of you. I will protect you. I will bless you. But here it was a different story. Verses 8 down to verse 10. And the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely thus saith the Lord. So I will give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in the land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in the places whither I shall drive them, and I will send the sword and the famine and the pestilence. I don't want to belong to that group. Friends, there's going to be consequences. With our choices, there's going to be consequences. These people made the choice. They were saying, we're going to live our own lives. No one's going to tell us what to do. These people rejected God. These people rejected God's word. These people denied God's word. These people made the choice to live a disobedient life. They live for self. They live for pleasure. They were living for sin. Last February, we went to the Philippines for a missions visit. In the Philippines, they have a program. Pastor Myers, they have a program in the Philippines. There's a lot of poor families. They want to study. They have that desire to learn, but they don't have money. So they have a program, study now, pay later. We're going to give you that education, and once you earn, you pay it back. So study now, pay later. That was a great program. But as I pastor now for many years, in our society today, this is the philosophy, enjoy now, pay later. Enjoy now, pay later. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to enjoy the pleasures of sin, the life of disobedience, and life of the lust of the flesh. I'm going to enjoy it now. And I'm going to deal with the consequence later. Enjoy now, pay later. And in our text, this is the group here. They've rejected God. And because of that, they're going to suffer the consequence. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, as we close. Revelation, please, as we close. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 6 to 8. In verses 6 and 7, the Lord was dealing with this group that made a choice to believe in Jesus. In verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So this group made the choice to believe in Jesus. But in verse 8, this is the group that believed or made the choice not to believe in Jesus, rejected Jesus. And this is the consequences of not believing. Notice in verse 8, but the fearful. These are the cowards. Coward to face the truth. Coward to believe in the word of God. To believe in Jesus. But the fearful and the unbelieving. Today, you will see a lot of atheists. They're so proud. I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in nothing. They're so proud. The Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The consequences of not believing, the Bible says here, is hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of separation. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of no mercy. Hell is a place of no love. Hell is a place of fire. It's a fixed place. It's a forever place. It's an awful place. It's a miserable place. It's a real place. Sad to say, 41% of Americans believe, only 41% believe in hell. 27% believe they might have hell. Hell is the destiny of every unbeliever. 8 billion people in this world today. The life expectancy was estimated 70 years. With all these things that's going on, natural disaster, hurricanes, terrorism, who knows? 83 people die every second. 6,000 people die every hour. 144,000 die every day. Approximately 52 million die every year. If you're not sure this morning, if you're not sure of heaven, then you will be in that place as well. Hell is a real place. There's going to be consequence. It's a place of horror. It's a place of eternal separation. It's a place of hopelessness. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of regret. Hollywood crowd making fun of hell. There was this actor by the name of George Clooney. He said, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in God. And then he said, but I'm not going to allow anyone to waste my life. Let me say this morning, without Jesus, it's a wasted life. The best life is a life lived for Jesus. A wasted life is a life that is lived without Jesus. The Bible is giving us a lesson this morning. There's a contrast. Two groups of people. Which group do you belong this morning? Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.